What we're talking about is the impact of the coronavirus pandemic on the world of work, isn't it? And how it's changing working patterns. And that's what perhaps the short-term stuff is, and what perhaps some of the longer-term, things that are gonna change when all this is over.
That's the voice of Reimer Rigby, a name that may be familiar to readers of FM Magazine. Reimer is an author and regular contributor of popular career content in FM. And today he's joining me, FM Magazine's Neil Amato, on the podcast. Here's our conversation. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's very nice to be here.
So obviously we are still heavily focused on the uncertainty for the future that's created by what is somewhat in our past, but also still in our present, and that's the coronavirus pandemic. Amid all this bad news and uncertainty, what are some potential bright spots for workers?
Well, I think one thing is that it has enormously accelerated the work from home trend. It's done this in a number of ways. One is it has forced people to work from home, and so I think it's made us realize that there are vastly more jobs that can actually be done, at least partly remotely, than we had previously assumed. You know, there are a lot of roles, quite a lot of legal roles actually spring to mind, where people are like, well, actually, I can do this at home, and it's not a problem. And it's also been very good for the uptake of technology, which enables this, especially for people who have long commutes. It has perhaps been really, really good for them. And we should probably put that in the positive column. And so, you know, if you're someone who is, I think in the United States and the UK, we're roughly the same. We commute for roughly 50-something minutes a day. But, you know, if you're commuting for sort of 2 hours a day, you might be thinking, well, actually, I should only work maybe 2 days a week in the office. And I think that's really positive. And people who had long commutes, I think, are suddenly kind of reconnecting with their families, you know, a lot less stressed and possibly delivering better work because of it. And then I guess there's the whole thing, you know, will offices be the same? And, there's a big thing here. You know, will we be looking at, companies requiring probably initially more office space because of social distancing, but then perhaps in the 1 or 2 year time span, less office space if, say, a third of their workforce decide they're going to work from home. It may also have killed hot desking dead, which I think might make a lot of people very happy.
Right. Yeah. I don't hear a lot of positive feedback on the hot desking trend. So if you were that at home worker, spent 90 minutes a day getting to and from work, and now you have allegedly a free, 6 hours a week, let's say. What are people doing with that, or what should they be doing with that time?
Certainly, hopefully not working more. I think, you know, if you do have that time, I mean, you know, number one, if you have a family, great, spend it with them. And actually, at the moment, with kids out of school, you know, it's like, you know, a lot of people don't have commutes, but they do have to look after their kids. My children are now getting a bit older and are less demanding. So I guess, you know, if you're, you know, a hobby, you know, what do people normally do with free time? Or perhaps exercise, you know, if you want to get in good shape. I've heard a couple of people doing things like learning Danish, which I think is, there's baking bread, which seems to be the great, certainly in this country, has been one of the great lockdown pastimes. And resulted briefly in flour shortages, which, you know. do whatever you want to do, but don't fill it with work or certainly not needless work.
What about just the notion of productivity? How has the pandemic changed that?
Well, I've worked from home for 20 years, and so I think it's quite interesting. You know, when you work from home, there's a view that you are sort of judged on the work you produce rather than perhaps the time you spend in the office and the time you spend hanging around the boss. And perhaps it gets you slightly away from the notion of presenteeism, which we should probably come back to. But I think at first, yes, it was, you know, you just sit there and do your work. But of course, we now have digital presenteeism via Zoom calls and that type of thing. So perhaps it hasn't really changed all that much. And I think initially there probably was a period of perhaps a month where people were, as much as possible, just getting on with work, probably with far too many Zoom calls. And office politics had disappeared. But I think office politics are probably reasserting themselves in all sorts of interesting ways. You know, I've seen people doing Zoom calls where they're also WhatsApping people in the background. And so not everyone on the call is on the WhatsApp group. So you have back channels. And I think it's all very interesting. So, yeah, I think, you know, perhaps you are judged a little bit more on the work you do. But there's also there's a strong element of pressing the flesh, but in a different way.
So as a veteran, a longtime work from home person, I'll ask, how has it changed over the years? Did you say you've worked from home for 20 years?
Yeah. Well, I mean, 20 years ago. So I started perhaps around the year 2000, say. And, well, I mean, you know, you barely had broadband in a lot of places then. And it certainly wasn't broadband that you could do a video call with. It was limited to a few industries. And I remember speaking to a guy who probably had done it since the 90s. And he said, you know, it tends to be sort of knowledge work that is also piecework. So, you know, as a journalist, copywriters, that type of thing. But I also think because you didn't have any support networks, really, it tended to be limited to people who really wanted to do it and were very happy by themselves. And one thing I've noticed perhaps in recent years is that a lot of people think it's great, but then actually discover that they don't really enjoy it very much and they need the office and they need to see people around them. But yeah, I mean, hugely more people are doing it. And it is much, much easier to do because technology has got so much better.
Sure. So you make the point about people missing the office. I would say that I fit squarely in that. I'm going to be fine with whatever happens long term, but I do miss being in there. Though there are some employees, some of my coworkers, and some of the people out there listening who really enjoy being left alone, being at home. What can those people teach an extrovert like me?
I suppose what they can... Well, I don't really know. I mean, can they teach you anything? Because you're a different person. I think the thing you really miss in the office is sort of gossip. And I mean that... I mean gossip in quite a positive sense. You know, those sort of serendipitous meetings in the corridor and... You know, the way you sort of bump into people and you exchange information and intelligence, I think that's incredibly valuable. Those of us who have worked from home for a long time, I think find ways to replicate that through sort of WhatsApp groups and direct message groups and that type of thing. But honestly, is there a substitute for it? I don't think there is. So if you really need that kind of human contact, then yeah, I think you do need to get back to the office. What can you do while you're still away? Well, yeah, use kind of WhatsApp groups and pick up the phone, talk to people. But of course, the thing about picking up the phone and talking to someone is you've made an effort and you're stopping them from doing something. It's not quite the same as bumping into them in the corridor and sort of saying, you know, hey, how about Reimer or hey, how about Neil? You know, can you believe he did that? And I think that is tremendously valuable, even though it can sound a bit like, as I say, gossip.
Right. And as you say, if you bump into someone, you know, and they're getting a cup of coffee or whatever, clearly they're not, it's easy to tell whether they're busy or not. That said, also at the office, you can have people constantly stopping by your desk or your office, and that can, I guess, be less productive too. So maybe there's some value in some of this solitude. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I think absolutely. I think that's one of the reasons why, for most people, a mixture of work, you know, a bit of working from home is great, but working from home all the time isn't. You know, if you've got a long report to write, you absolutely want to be by yourself and you don't want those irritating kind of interruptions. But if you have a normal working day, they're actually pretty good and they make you feel like part of something.
I'm suddenly drawing a blank on the expert's name, but the video of the, I believe, the South Korea expert being interrupted by his children in the meeting. Now, that was about 2 years before, I guess, it's time. But now it seems like that's a common thing as so many people are working from home. How has that changed, or how has the pandemic changed kind of that expectation of no interruptions for meetings?
I think actually, because so many children have been off school, it's just been something we've had to deal with and people have, you know, have actually got used to. And I think that's a pretty good thing. You know, it seeing your children bounce into the background humanizes you. And you know, it makes people realize that, yes, you do have a life outside work. You know, you are a more rounded person. I mean, it has had some downsides. There was the man who threw his cat, the Californian city official, who threw his cat across the room. And I think he wound up getting sacked. So, you know. And I suppose the other thing is, you know, that, and that was actually, I wrote a piece on that, and it's kind of, people do find Zoom quite exhausting because it doesn't quite replicate the, you know, you don't get all the body language cues. Being right up there in someone's face can sort of trigger a fight or flight response. And on slow video, the lag can make you, you know, can be quite disconcerting. So I think, you know, there has to be a realization perhaps that, you know, there's nothing wrong with a normal phone call sometimes. And why have we suddenly gone onto video calls? It's interesting.
That's a good point about the video calls. I think, you know, maybe it, this is just me spouting, but maybe it shows more presence or enables people to show a, you know, some sort of professional look as opposed to just their voice on the phone call. But, you know, the phone worked plenty of times when we were in the office talking to people who were not with us. So,
yes, exactly. We seem to default to video calls now. And it's, you know, I'm kind of wondering why. Is it because you, maybe you're right, maybe you do have to feel present. It sort of helps you, you know, me seeing you makes you feel like you're there. I don't know.
So I've read surveys and articles that indicate people are working too much from home. They're losing track of their hours. What does that say to you? And maybe that's just a US thing. I don't know. What do you think about that?
No, I think you're right. It's an everywhere thing. I've read about this too. I think, you know, initially a lot of bosses were sort of like, well, Reimer's going to be working from home. That means he's going to work less. But actually what they've discovered is that people often tend to work more. And I think there's a couple of mechanisms at work here. One is, you know, you get quite into things, you don't have interruptions. But the other is people feel slightly guilty about working from home. And this creates a kind of bizarre overcompensation for not being present. And then the other thing I think you've got going is that, you know, because of the pandemic, there are a lot of people who are very nervous about their jobs. So, you know, they are perhaps giving more than they need to.
Is it crazy to think that the momentum that was building toward a 4-day work week is possibly accelerated by the pandemic? Meaning if people are working at home and they're working more hours, maybe they could turn those long hours into a 4-day week instead?
I don't know. I mean, I've seen so many people argue that it could go to a 4-day week. Nobody will want to work in the office, or it's actually going to go back sort of quite similar to how it was before. And it's really difficult to see how this is going to play out. I think certainly it has made people aware that flexible working in all its forms is easier. And perhaps that is, as you say, the compressed hours thing, where you do four longer days and five, the fifth day is off. Or perhaps it's simply that, you know, you were in the office all the time and now you work from home 3 days a week. I think, yeah, it's, you're right, it has accelerated awareness of flexible working in all its forms. But what this eventually delivers, I don't know. Your guess is probably as good as mine.
How can remote workers, we touched on this a little bit earlier, but I'll delve into it a little bit more if you have more to say. How can remote workers be visible to their managers? It seems like colleagues they can be visible with on the WhatsApp front, but how can they be visible to their managers when they're not seeing them for long periods of time?
I think that's a really good question. I mean, I think one thing is, you know, I mean, this is a good piece of advice generally, but if you've sat there and you've exchanged four or five emails with someone, you know, just pick up the phone or get on a Zoom call. You know, it's a much richer experience. And, you know, if I pick up the phone and talk to you, you know, I'm probably going to have a 15-minute conversation with you that is going to go off in tangents that wouldn't on an email, because an email is quite a sort of closed piece of communication. So I think that is one way. I think the other way is, you know, you sort of ensure visibility for your work. You flag up things you've done, not in a look at me way, but you know, you perhaps, you know, you might send kind of daily or weekly reports of what you've done. You participate in things like Slack and that type of thing as much as possible. And you sort of participate perhaps in group calls. You know, you do meetings, and if your manager doesn't do that, perhaps you encourage your manager to do it. You know, you say, look, I need some time with you. I need to and you know, just ask, you know, say, is this going okay? Am I delivering what you want? Because I think, you know, a lot of people, and this is perhaps why they're doing too much, you know, they're feeling like they're not getting any feedback, they're sort of feeling quite isolated. And you know, if their manager isn't reaching out, then they need to reach out. Because managers, they shouldn't do this, but often they do. They just assume if they don't hear from an employee, then everything is fine. And often it's not.
How has the pandemic changed the concept of employability?
I think if you present yourself well digitally, you probably look more employable. So if you're someone who is good on LinkedIn, depending on your industry, possibly other platforms, you know, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, then perhaps, you know, that sort of idea that you have a digital presence, if I Google you, you know, what do I find out? I think that is good. People who are comfortable with working remotely, as we've said, people who are sort of proactive about communicating, communicating digitally, communicating on a number of channels. So I think, yeah, anyone who has good digital skills, I think probably looks more employable. I mean, it's been fairly, you know, it's still only, I guess, about 3 months, which I think means, you know, how it pans out, I don't really know. If we're still sort of semi-locked down by the end of this year, it could be quite interesting. And I think you have all sorts of other interesting things. I mean, you know, if you work in an office, the networks are visible, but I didn't mean to make people paranoid. You know, there could be sort of closed, I think someone was talking to me the other day about dark WhatsApp groups, which are WhatsApp groups at work that, you know, just don't include you, but perhaps are really valuable sources of information. So you have all this sort of stuff going on. But I think it is very early days yet. So quite how all this pans out, I don't really know.
Just on the overall topic of kind of career management in the middle of a pandemic, anything to add in closing?
I mean, I guess just, you know, keep your visibility up. Do as good a job as you can. You know, if you network, obviously this has to be done digitally. And yeah, just try really, and you know, keep your make sure you were visible, you were speaking to people, you were communicating, and that you were telling people about the work you've done, because quite often if you don't tell people, they don't recognize that you have done it. So you perhaps, it may feel, you know, especially if you're British, we don't like to blow our own trumpets. But I think, yeah, you do. You have to blow your own trumpet a little bit, and really embrace the full spectrum of kind of digital tools to ensure people know that you're there and you're working.
Reimer, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Great to talk.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. It is provided with the understanding that the association, its affiliates, and subsidiaries are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The association, its subsidiaries, and affiliates make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to and assume no responsibility for the content or application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaim all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.